The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome to the show, and we ended the morning show with a story about hoarders and how disgusting they were, and Lance Zierlein had the audacity to chime in and go how bad they are when he's leaving his dirty, discarded white socks on the floor in our place of work. I tell him about it. He goes, no, they're not dirty. You can see that there are dirt stains from him, I guess, walking outside. He walks outside in his white socks. He's attributing the stains to that, not that he had worn these. And by the way, he told me he uses those socks for disc golf. So he's sweating. He's doing something somewhat athletic. And he's going to tell me they're not dirty? He goes, no, I washed them, but they just happen to have residual stains because I'm always walking outside with them. That doesn't help your cause. Find the bleach. Find the bleach. They're white socks. You wash your whites with other whites. Throw the bleach in there so you don't have to worry about it. Get some OxyClean, whatever it takes, man. But the first things first, don't leave your dirty socks where I'm going to sit to do a show. What's wrong with him? I was going to start with, oh, we know who the Rockets are playing. But instead, sit down. Come in. Explain. Explain why they're white, dirty socks here.
They're not dirty.
They were dirty. Now, they had stains on them.
Now, look. Have I walked outside with them?
Yes.
Yes, not today. Or have I walked outside with them? Yes. A lot.
Uh-huh.
So they're washed. That's fine. Are they perfectly white? No, they're like two-year-old socks.
You don't have OxyClean or bleach? You don't know how to wash whites?
They can't wash with the whites. We're not going to bleach the whole thing because the whites aren't always just pure plain whites. I don't know. I don't wash the clothes.
Of course you don't. You don't know nothing.
I don't really know that, but I just know
Why did you have
my disc golf socks.
Why did you have socks on the floor?
I had them, and they were in my bag. I took them out, and I was going to put them on to play disc golf, and I'm like, I'll do it later. And I put them on the floor, and I forgot. Little did I know you were going to come in here crying.
Little did you know. Little did you know I was going to walk in to do a show.
Make
and
a
they're
big
gonna,
deal about nothing, mate.
They're dirt. Well,
a
you
big
have
deal about nothing.
You have a history of leaving your dirty napkins, your used napkins here.
Oh, there's a circle of water here.
Not just the circle of water. You leave like tissues that you use to clean your nose.
One time.
Stop it.
Stuck in here where you wouldn't have seen it anyway.
You mean where I would put my hands?
Why do you put your hands here?
Why can't I put my hands there?
You don't need to put your hands there.
No, you can't use where I put my hands as a reason and it be my problem.
There's a big to do over nothing.
You know it's
some clean socks on the ground.
There's no evidence that they're clean.
You found a tissue box that had been used in a hotel.
You know it's
that's what you're acting like. It's
how
all
I
the
know
ground.
you're shaken up by it because you came and hit her to defend yourself. You know you're
I
not,
heard you yelling and I knew what this.
You
was
know
about.
You're not supposed to leave dirty
socks.
And Leo
was laughing
because you're leaving dirty socks on the floor.
The intern, she was laughing
because you cannot leave your dirty clothes on the floor.
It's not. I'm not technically leaving my dirty clothes on the floor. That happens at the house.
Do they? Well, this isn't your home. Do they have stains on them? Did the socks have stains on them?
Not. What do you mean by stains?
Dirt stains on them?
No, I don't have them in my bag.
Yes.
I was going to pull them out and show them to Twitch. They're not that bad.
They're awful.
They're clean. I smelled them right in front of your face to show you that they weren't worn socks.
I don't know.
They're clean.
I don't know your level of comfort with stink, so I'm not sure. Maybe you're like
low.
We know that tennis player.
I don't like stink.
Well,
it's low.
Maybe you aren't bothered by your own stink.
No, it's not. I know when I smell
a lot of
like
people aren't.
I know when I smell like a teenage boy when it gets warm
wet
outside.
Puppies?
Yeah, like you say, white people smell like when they're.
Don't say that. That's what my people say.
It's what Black Twitter says, and it's also
true.
By the way, it's actually accurate. I've like not now, but if I'm outside and it's warm,
they start. By the way, the two white people just smelled themselves, Sean and Lance, just smelled to make sure.
Just
to make sure.
And it's not a stink; it's like a wet dog smell.
That stinks. I don't know if you've heard wet dogs stink.
Well, but it's a mild.
It's not a good smell.
It's a mild wet dog smell. It's not like a really like a foul wet dog.
It is. It is a.
It's cute. It's like a cute, like
it's not cute.
Smell like a cute puppy.
It's not cute.
Yeah, like puppy breath.
No one's looking for puppy breath.
Unless that puppy's eating its own crap.
You know why puppy breath is cute? Because there's little small creatures. They're not grown middle-aged men. Get out of here. Get out of here. Just leaving his dirty crap all over the floor like it's not supposed to matter. Oh, this isn't your home. I know you probably spend more time here than you do at home, but it's not actually your home. So that's how the first segment ends, with Lance and his dirty-ass socks. I don't get it, man. Just keep the socks in the bag. Why are they on the floor, clean or not clean? I'm going to tell you, I didn't smell them because I'm not smelling another man's socks. That might be your fetish. Go to Patreon for that. But it's not mine. They look dirty. And he'll acknowledge that they had stains on them. Take it for what it is. If you're looking at me on Twitch or Twitter or YouTube, you probably see a giant liftoff box from the Rockets because it's playoff time.
Yeah.
It sent me a nice care package. I'm not the only one who got it. I'm sure there are a lot of packages going out across the city for people who will talk about the Rockets and their playoff run. We'll get into that. We know their opponent. It is the Golden State Warriors. They held on to beat the Grizz after being up by 20 points. They nearly blow that game. In fact, the Grizz took the lead a couple times, but thanks to Steph Curry and a parade to the foul line for Butler and Curry, it's Warriors versus Rockets. It felt inevitable, and we get it again. Rockets, the 2 seed, not favorite to win that series, but that's to be expected. So we'll talk about that. The schedule's out. We're all set. First game is Sunday, and there'll be two days off between games 1 and 2 and 2 and 3, and then they'll get to a regular schedule after that as far as one day off in between the games. So it's here. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. If you want to get in on anything, whether it be Lance's dirty socks or Rockets basketball or what Hunter Brown did yesterday, we can get into that too. So it's me and Sean. We're just getting started here. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Another thing on what happened in the first segment. I bet you if he knew Melissa was walking in here, Lance wouldn't leave his dirty socks hanging out. Because you can never come back from that. There are some things that no matter how hard you try, you're going to leave an impression on someone, and it never goes away. Like, we're going to play some audio that Sean hasn't heard. I just labeled it mystery audio. And it's probably a thing, if it's said about you, you can never get it back. Once it's said about you, if people believe it, it's hard to change the narrative. And if Melissa came in and saw dirty-ass socks from Lance on the floor, she'd go, oh, this is a guy who walks around with dirty socks. You can't fight it. Luckily, it was just me. She's nicer than me. She probably wouldn't point it out. But in her head, she'd always think, oh.
Dirty socks.
Dirty sock Lance. I call him trash-ass Lance. In her phone, it'd be dirty socks Lance. That would be the contact for him. Okay. If you are watching us on YouTube or Twitch or Twitter, you might see a personalized Rockets jersey with my last name on it, because the Rockets are giving out gift packages to everyone with the playoffs in store. It's Sunday, game one against the Warriors. I got my gift box. Sean just presented his.
Yeah.
Not by Clutch or anything, just...
No.
Not just by Todd.
I would love Clutch. I love Todd, too, but yeah. I would have loved Clutch a little bit more. I was ready to get upset. I was ready to be like, what does a guy have to do to get a box? But, okay.
Talk about the Rockets in any way, shape, or form. You might get one.
I was going to have to pick them in four. Now, because they gave me stuff, I can be journalistically unbiased.
Isn't that the opposite of what's going. Once they give you stuff, aren't you someone who's now in their pocket and you have to?
But now I've already gotten the free stuff.
Yeah, before you had to get in their pocket.
I mean, the season started. They gave me a quarter zip, they gave us all a quarter.
Yeah, I gave mine away to someone, but I kept the backpack, which is a nice backpack
and the tumbler.
Yeah,
I've said nothing but good things about the Rockets this year.
Although we haven't had a lot of reasons to say bad things about them.
It was easy.
They've had a really good year.
It was easy. This team rocks.
Good luck if it was 2021. Forced to say good things about them. But the playoffs are here, and we've got, it appears, confirmation that they will be handing out T-shirts for that first playoff game. Not just towels, because there's a T-shirt in the box as well. The slogan will be "Liftoff." So we know what Rusty Harden will be wearing when it's game one, if he happens to make an appearance.
I wish I was wearing a dress shirt right now. Well, I rarely say that, but I wish I was wearing a dress shirt.
I've never said it, actually.
Right now, because I would love to put this Liftoff T-shirt over my dress shirt, but I guess that'll have to wait until Sunday.
Yeah, maybe you honor Mr. Harden by Rusty, not James, by wearing your button up
with an eye.
Wearing your button up and then throwing on your red Liftoff shirt as the Rockets take on the Warriors. So that's game one, and we're here because the Warriors survived the Grizzlies last night. Watching the game, when the Warriors go by 20, you kind of think it's over. I was looking at some Grizzlies accounts, people who cover the team or just root for the team, and they felt like, okay, this is a team we've recognized the last month and a half or so. This game's over. And then the Grizzlies fight back. They withstand a Warriors flurry, and by middle of the fourth quarter, they take a lead. I think it might have been a Desmond Bane three. Someone knocked down a three, and they took the lead. And they could not hold off the Warriors because Steph, even with the hand that was bothering him in the game against the Clippers on Sunday, kept knocking down shots, got open a couple of times, and was just Steph. And that's what we're going to have to contend with here, because while I do question whether Jimmy Butler can do what he did last night over the course of a series, he was playing under that moniker Playoff Jimmy. He was very aggressive. He hunted mismatches. He got to the foul line, and he wasn't that great from the foul line. I think he missed six, so he could have easily scored 40-plus. He just missed six free throws. He went 12 for 18 from the line. I think Steph Curry got to the line 13 times last night, and he made them all, I believe. So that's the whistle that we may have to deal with here with the Warriors. There's always that concern with the Warriors, considering the history of the two teams. I thought the Lakers' elite whistle would have been an issue if we had to see them in the playoffs. Be ready for it. You've got an elite, you want to call him grifter, or just foul hunter in Jimmy Butler, who will ignore what should be an easy layup to draw a foul on you. It is part of his game. It'll be annoying.
That's going to be so infuriating.
You're just going to get a lot of it where it looks like, hey, you could just go up and lay that in. No, he's trying to bait you into an and-one situation. And sometimes when he doesn't get a foul, he just smokes a layup because he's so intent on drawing a foul. This wasn't the case last night, but the Scottie Pippen foul that was called where no one touches him, there's a shot of Jimmy Butler looking over to the Warriors bench. And it looks like he knows he didn't get fouled. He gives it like, ooh, can't believe they called that one. And he on his march to the line. So that's part of the thing with the Warriors. We played sound from Steve Kerr, what I felt was gamesmanship very early. And it worked against the Grizz. Now, Steph Curry is obstructed. He is held. But the combo of 31 free throws between the two is nasty work. Nasty work. And if we have to deal with that in a playoff series, it's going to be infuriating. It's just one of the things to take into account with the Rockets' aggressive style of play, guys who are willing to be physical. Will they not just be allowed to be physical? Will they pick up fouls? Will guys who are very important parts of their defensive structure miss extended minutes because they're in foul trouble early, because they're trying to guard Steph Curry in the only way that's effective enough to limit him? Even when you do, he's going to likely go off, but you're trying to make it as hard for him as possible. I don't think they're going to replicate the three-point outing that they forced him into, but you just want to make him inefficient as possible and then make him work on the defensive end and, of course, avoid letting Jimmy Butler get to the line. So the series is here. The Warriors are favorites. They're going to be talked about quite a bit, and I wonder if the Rockets will be an afterthought nationally. Despite being a two seed, despite some of the advantages they have, because the Warriors don't defend their don't defend well. They're not a great offensive rebounding team. Defensive rebound well. They're not a great offensive rebound team. A lot of numbers as far as what the Rockets feel are strengths are Warrior weaknesses, despite what they've done with Jimmy Butler since they made that trade. So there are some advantages there. You just have the greatness of Steph and whatever playoff Jimmy will be as a concern. Because I don't know that the Warriors have a lot beyond those two. I watched that game, and are they going to depend on Buddy Hield? He is one of their designated shooters. I don't think much of Buddy Hield as a playoff performer. And then Paz is the other guy who has had great moments in the second half of the year, who they're going to lean on. And while Butler and Curry were great against the Grizz aren't as they're presently constituted, set up to defend the Warriors, because they don't have Jalen Wells, who's a rookie, who's a pretty good defender. Brandon Clark isn't there. Maybe you play less Zach Edey if you can play Brandon Clark, a more switchable defender. And someone tweeted out something very funny. It's not a compliment to Zach Edey. They tweeted out that sometimes Zach Edey looks like he grew a foot before the game. That's how he plays sometimes. Like, he just got 7 feet tall,
yeah,
and now he has to go out and play NBA basketball. They were insistent on playing him, and I get it, the rebounding, but it's part of the old head culture that Shaq and we'll play some sound from inside the NBA. So Kenny Smith had an interesting comp for Jalen Green. The old head culture of, hey, you got to make him pay. You got Zach Edey out there seven feet tall. Throw him the ball and let him go to work. Excuse me? Have we watched him in the NBA? He's not that guy.
Let him do work down.
He's not a guy you throw the ball down into and let him do work. He's
have Ja, Desmond Bain, and Jaren Jackson Jr. all watch him do a hook shot over his left shoulder.
Yeah, and of course that's going to work out. He is and if you double him, he's not a great passer out of the post. That led to a couple turnovers. So, but that's just, hey, a couple guys who played an era where you throw the ball into a guy and let him go to work. Shaq, he's not you.
Yeah.
He's not Akeem. He's not David Robinson. He's Zach Edey, who is big and strong, but should not. And if you get him on a dive, a duck in, maybe he'll make a play and lay it in. But making a post move from 10 feet out ain't going
to
work.
Yeah. To put it in Shaq and Chuck and Kenny terms, he's Ostertag. That's who he is.
And we know how Shaq thought about Ostertag.
Exactly.
Yeah. Shaq, if. Now, they don't have anyone of your size. They're not playing Kevon Looney a lot, and Quinn Post is more of a stretch five, so he's not a great defender. But if the Jazz thought to themselves, you know, we got to make Shaq work. We're going to give the ball to Ostertag or O'Keefe and let them go to work, you would laugh at them.
Yeah, let Karl Malone just stand there on the weak side, watch him go to work.
Yeah, and that's why they're not going to dump the ball into Edey. And if they did it a couple times and they failed miserably, so it was something that they shouldn't have done, and it's something that the guys on TNT shouldn't have suggested, because it was never going to be a viable option for them, and we saw it. He's big, rebound the basketball, get the ball out of your hands quickly to someone before you turn the ball over.
I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this. Big stiff? Zach Edey?
I won't call him that. He's a little bit more fluid than that, but I'm not.
A little.
I'm not asking him to guard Jimmy Butler on switches because you feel the need to stay big, because you think if the Warriors are going to play small, you have an advantage there. It's not going to work.
And
that's why he was in foul trouble all game.
Yeah, right. So spinning this to the Rockets, double big for life, big for this series. I mean, you got to try it out at least.
And it's been so successful that you've tried it out. But Zach Edey as a big has not worked well for the Grizz.
Yeah, so I do wonder, I just wonder like what lineup would cause, because, you know, the playoffs, the playoffs are all about matchups.
I've been told that.
And I think certain lineup configurations from the Warriors should, like, trigger, like, okay, we're going double big, and vice versa, of like, okay, now we might go Jabari at center, something smaller. I do wonder what the, like you mentioned with Quinton Post, if Post is out there, is that when you're like, oh, it's too light in the shorts to box out Steven Adams on the offensive glass? So that's going, in a funny way, the double big lineup really kickstarts the Rockets offense more than it actually, they raise in defensive quality. It's more about they just have three shots every time down the court if they keep missing because they keep getting the offensive rebound.
It is a surprise to me that it's worked so well just because the NBA isn't played that way anymore. But sometimes you have to, as they say, zag.
Yeah, it's just a knuckleball that teams aren't ready for.
Yeah, and they don't have they're not capable because you have a non-Zach Edey big in Şengün who can make you pay on the offensive end. And then you have Steven Adams, a longtime good screener, and he'll punish you. I gave the numbers earlier this week where he has the record for best
offensive space or something.
That and best record for offensive rebound percentage
in
the history of the NBA, just ahead of Dennis Rodman. He's been a big part of what the Rockets are going to do, and they'll test that out. We'll see, and if the Warriors don't have any answers for it, you'll punish them that way.
Yeah. And, or maybe just throw it down to them in the post. Let them go to work.
Unlikely.
Oh.
Unlikely okay. to ask Steven Adams to be a focal point of your offense like the Grizz tried
though.
To do.
Şengün, yes. That's,
yes. That's let him go after Draymond, and if they put Kevon Looney in because they want to match.
Definitely go after
him. Go after him. There are ways. There are ways to use Şengün in a situation, whether it be Draymond or Kevon Looney on his back, or, and, of course, Quentin Post as well. So Rockets-Warriors game one on Sunday here in Toyota Center.
Do we have a time on that?
I don't know if I've seen
I'm ready
yet.
To get disrespected depending on what time they play.
If they don't put you in a prime time spot, you want to be disrespected?
8:30.
That's
good.
That's respect. TNT. That's the 8:30. The primetime game.
It's a little late, but
now what do you want? 7:30? What would be perfect for you? 7:30? And then 8:30 again. And of course it won't start at 8:30. We're probably talking more like 8:45 or something. So it'll be even later than that. And then so the first three games will be in prime time, the two TNT games. Sunday and then Wednesday, and then on Saturday you'll have ABC. So Rockets featured. Golden State featured, and the Rockets happen to be there. I think it's how the TV people set it up. Okay, it's there. Now you got to prove any disrespect you hear for the next several days is exactly that disrespect, and go out there and win game one and let the world know that It ain't a Warriors coronation for the first round. Jimmy and Steph, whatever.
Yeah.
Come into Toyota Center and see how you do.
Yeah. Steph Curry, Chicken Curry, Oreo McFlurry, Rockets and Five.
Thank you. Thank you, Shannon Mapes. Thank you, Unk, for that. it's what Unk that is what Unk does when he talks about his beloved Lakers. You know who Sean likes to talk about? His beloved Prize Picks.
I do love talking about Prize Picks, and if I was more creative, I would think of another rhyme on par with the one that I had basically all night to think of last night involving Steph Curry. But maybe you just take some lesses on Steph Curry's projections, because right now the Rockets and Warriors, they already have those squares up and ready to go. You can already put them in your lineup. I already like Amin Thompson more than 29.5 points plus rebounds plus assists for game one of the Rockets-Warriors series. But there's always really any sport you can imagine, any sport that you want. You got baseball. Remember the Cardinals and the Astros are playing an early one today, so got to get those lineups in. And going back to basketball, actually, the Prize Picks has a very, very cool thing. Takes to tickets for the play, starting in the play-in tournament all the way throughout the playoffs. You can keep making lineups, and you're entered in a chance to win tickets to the finals for you and a plus one. So, and a VIP chip. I don't know what the VIP part of that is, but it'll be very important, and you'll be treated as such on Prize Picks. You just got to download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. We'll do more Rockets stuff later. But the Astros win. Hunter Brown was really good. The Astros had a couple opportunities early in that game with the bases loaded. Did not come through. but found a way to scratch some runs across. So don't waste a Hunter Brown start. Nice for the team to get a good performance from your start from their starting pitcher after what happened two nights ago now with Framber Valdez. We got bad Framber on Monday. We got great Hunter last night, and we'll have Ronel Blanco today. First pitch is scheduled for 12:15. So the Astros trying to do something they have not done all year. Win two in a row. They're trying to do it against Nolan Arenado and those at one point hated St. Louis Cardinals. Do people care about the fact that it's the Cardinals anymore? I don't think so. It's been a long while.
I think some people care. I still.
You still care?
I still don't like the Cardinals. Okay. I think a regular season series like doesn't exactly get the juices pumping. Got also, it. No Yadier Molina, no Albert Pujols,
yeah,
Chris
a lot
Carpenter.
Of guys. A lot of guys.
Jason
Nears. No La Russa as
a
manager.
Just naming guys.
Yeah.
But none of those guys are out there. So it does kind of ease it a little bit, but
I
really don't like the Cardinals, but I think for some part of the fan base, it adds some juice to it. But especially the Johnny Come Latelys, I don't care.
They didn't have to grow up in the fires of Cardinals versus Astros. They don't know nothing about that.
The baseball I grew up watching was 04.
Yeah, they don't even know that those brick red uniforms exist. Don't know nothing about that. Nothing about it. But we'll see if the Astros can beat the hated Cardinals, at least for some of you, today.
For me, at least. You know what? Astros, beat them for me. Beat them not just for me right now. Beat them for...
young you.
Like 8-year-old Sean.
Crying Sean. Well, you never cried over an Astros game?
I don't think so, no.
You ain't a real one. That's all I heard there.
Yeah. Not about the Astros, at least.
Cried over any pro teams, or has always been college?
I mean, the Texans didn't give me any opportunity to until not I was in high school.
Yeah, not when you're a kid, when that would be acceptable to cry.
Honestly, it might be that they won a game in, 2005.
They lost that.
Oh, they're not going to draft Vince Young now.
Yeah.
The 2006 draft. No. I don't think a pro team's made me cry.
I'm right there with you. The last time I actually cried over a sporting event was the 93 Sugar Bowl. Miami loses to Bama, going for their second consecutive title. They get smoked by George Teague and Bama and Jay Barker, of all people, at quarterback. I was pretty upset about the loss to Ohio State, but I did not cry. I just hid in my room for a weekend, but I did not cry. I got to go back to when I barely understood that football was the last time I cried over sports. I don't want to go back to those days. You know, I want to be. I'm glad I'm a little jaded.
Oh yeah, being dead inside.
Yeah,
way
much better.
Way better.
You can in 30 minutes of being pissed off about your team after the game, and it's over. And in some cases, you never even get to the point when you're upset.
Yeah, like Texas Ohio State this whatever past January.
Yeah,
it was probably like an hour, and then I don't know.
Move
just
on.
Kind of move on.
I got a life.
I'm still upset. I'm still not happy. It's just like, I'm just not in like a bad mood for the rest of the night anymore.
Yeah, my mood's not going to ruin someone else's night if I'm around them. You move on.
I mean, the what was that 2010 Rose Bowl, the Colt McCoy Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
That one. Let's just say I took it to school with me the next day. It was tough to be around me.
Yeah, everyone, stay away from Sean. He's going through it today. Marcel Darius, always with the target on his back. Because of what he did to Colt.
I'll never forget.
I still remember the name, and I wasn't even rooting for either team that night. I still remember.
Watch out, Marcel Darius. Not a threat, but watch out.
Just be aware. Head on the swivel, kid. Or grown man.
Whatever, 10 years older than I am.
Yeah, just head on the swivel. Just be aware. I remember what you did to the great Colt McCoy. But back to the Astros and Ronel Blanco. We'd like a good performance from him. It'd be the first of the season. That'd be nice. I don't believe we're going to get last year's Ronel Blanco, but some reasonable facsimile of that so that he's a viable option where you're not desperate for Lance McCullers to come back, which we talked about yesterday isn't a firm date, but it's expected to be in that Royal series next week. You'd love to just see the Blanco of last year, even if it's in flashes, because he's underperformed. if we expected last year to transition to this year, it just hasn't been good. So you have Fromm-Pru's up and down, Hunter Brown that you like, and then a lot of question marks because we cannot expect Wesneski to do what he did in his most recent start. It's not fair to him. It's not a foundation you want to lean on. Him, Fromber, and Brown, you need one more guy at least. And if it's not Blanco, then you're counting on potentially Lasso Colors when he comes back. So if you think that's a little shaky, I would agree. This foundation isn't solid with the starting pitching, but you did get a good night from the bullpen last night. Abreu, who's had his issues, and Hader, who hasn't had an issue really since game one, they got it done. Hunter Brown goes six, gives up no runs. King, Abreu, Hader, smooth sailing. I mean, King and Abreu gave up hits, but when it's Abreu, if you give up a hit and that's all, that's what we're looking for, buddy. Don't make us nervous. And until you prove otherwise, particularly in close games, people are going to be a little wary that you aren't the guy they expected to be, at least so far this year.
Yeah, it's all about first impressions here.
Yeah, and he has set a standard where, oh no, Abreu's coming in. Exactly. Hopefully this goes well.
Exactly. So it's going to take a while for Abreu to get back to where he was, you know, 22 and 23, where he had a case to being like the most trusted reliever in that bullpen. But yeah, I think anytime that you get a, you know, kind of by the book bullpen outing from the Astros, where it's King, it's Abreu, it's Hader, relatively stress free. Obviously, it's a 2-0 game, so like there is some stress, but it's easy work. That's good. That's just a good one for the whole psyche of the entire fan base that still lives and dies with every game.
Which I don't understand how they do it.
That every year.
We just talked about getting over games after 30 minutes. If living and dying with 162 baseball games, and some of them, depending on how your season is going, it may not be that many, but losing a baseball game, or at least watching your team lose a baseball game, and it affects your mood when you have another one the next day, most likely.
Yeah.
More power to you. I don't know how you regulate that, but I would say, hey, relax a little bit, because legitimately, there's another one.
Yeah.
Next day.
Right
now. You got like, 7 months of just another one coming the next day.
There's one at noon today.
Yeah. If you had lost last night, you wouldn't even have to wait 24 hours for the next start. It'd be
14
hours? Or so before you got another opportunity to watch your team play.
Yeah.
Good luck today to the Astros in their getaway day and to Ronel Blanco. The hitting has not been great this series, but we've become used to that. It is funny to just look at the back and forth, because going into the Cardinals series, wow, look at Bregman. Well, comparing to Paredes. Now Paredes goes hitless in his first two games, and Bregman goes 5-for-5. He did it in a minor league park, whatever.
Yeah.
Move on. Stop being so reactionary, everybody. You're going to have so many games to figure out if you miss Bregman or not. Why would you allow a weekend to determine who's right or wrong on this particular scenario?
Or even two nights ago with Nolan Arenado, where he hits a home run and Paredes doesn't, at least. And there's a little bit of like, could have had Arenado. It's like, Paredes just hit three home runs in three straight games. Yeah.
It has been gone over quite a bit why that acquisition was made, because of how he hits the baseball and what it might mean in his home ballpark. Whether he ever hits a home run on the road, right now, I don't have any evidence that he will, at least in an Astros uniform. But I know he's done it in other uniforms, so I expect it to happen.
When they go to Tampa, he has a shot.
So in all the other places he's played?
Yeah. Well, Wrigley, he wasn't that good.
No. As a home, all his ex-home ballparks, maybe he'll hit home runs there.
Yeah. And then,
we'll see.
Like, New York, or not New York.
Boston.
Boston, because they have similar dimensions, at least to the left side, which is the only side he's going to hit a baseball to.
If he's ever going to elevate a ball out of a ballpark, it's only going to be to left field, Don't worry, everybody. He'll be fine. And if not, there's another day. There's another game the next day where he could be fine.
Maybe tomorrow he's fine.
Yeah, maybe today.
Maybe
if he's in the lineup,
you know.
In fact, he's out. I'll see who if he is in the lineup. But maybe he'll hit home run today.
Yeah, whenever next they play at Daikin.
Yeah, remember, what has he got, like 70 more games at home? Something around there?
Friday they go back to Houston. He'll be fine.
There'll be a home run or two. He'll hit the ball hard. Or maybe not that hard, just hard enough. All right. When we come back, we're going to play some mystery audio. Sean has not heard it, I believe. I just set it up as mystery audio. And you can tell me, Sean, is this the most it's probably not the most disrespectful thing you can say about an opponent, but it might be something, if people believe that, you could never come back from. We'll hear that audio when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Okay, we normally don't talk about the sport. Just don't watch it very much, if at all. So, this show won't talk about things we don't know anything about. At least, on the surface. We may wander into a spot where we start talking about something we have no idea about, but we don't try to. So we don't talk about this sport. But this happened in a tennis match. I'm going to leave it at that. So I have the audio saved over there. Sean's going to play it. Sean has not heard it. It's just labeled as mystery audio. I have my opinion on this. I'll have Sean give his opinion after he hears it. And you guys clearly can have yours as well. Is this one of the more disrespectful things you have ever heard someone say about their opponent?
Can you tell her to wear deodorant?
If you didn't hear that, I understand. The statement is, can you tell her to wear deodorant? She smells really bad. Sean, you have played sports before. You have smelled people in life and while playing sports.
Yeah, mostly on accident.
Yeah. I'm not looking to smell people.
I'm not sniffing.
Yeah, I'm not sniffing. I don't go and try to see how someone smells. It's not what I'm looking for. Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm sure you have at points, this person stinks, I wish I had deodorant on. Have you ever uttered it out loud for people to hear?
No, I haven't. Maybe not like that. I mean, it's different because it's tennis. It's different in a lot of ways because it's tennis.
Yeah.
Because my this guy stinks, or maybe not this guy stinks. I wish this guy didn't smell as bad as he does, or just noticing that he smells bad. Mostly it is in more, you know, semi-contact sports or contact, I guess technically a contact sport. It's like in basketball or soccer where you're just like, again, you're boxing someone out or you're getting close to, you know, on a set play and you're like, ugh. that's most just like, whoa. I guess we're working hard out here, guys. Tennis, though, you're not real. I mean,
she happened to
famously walk, you're on different sides of the court.
Yeah, this involved Harriet Dart is a voice you heard. She's British, and she said it about, you know, their old rival, the French, Lois Boyson. So maybe some of that is
what's
there.
Happening here.
It's the hated rival, the French. The Brits and the French have had issues since time began,
and you're already thinking: A, Frenchie don't like them. B, this person stinks. Why? French. Mm-hmm. And so that colors in a lot of the gaps here, but still, like in tennis, like how often are you getting close?
It was during as they call it, a changeover where you walk from one side to the other. They passed each other and she smelled her and she said she stinks. Now, Dart was in the process of losing 6-0, 6-3, so maybe that played a part. She was getting her ass kicked. So maybe
by a smelly
French woman.
Yeah.
At least according to her. She has since apologized, but
like that.
You just want her to stand on business. If you say someone stinks.
A 100 years war, they stood on business for 100 years.
That was just one war.
Yeah, exactly. It was 100 straight years.
Yeah.
Not 100 straight. It was 3 different conflicts, but whatever.
Oh, history major. Sean Mapes.
Not major.
Just been watching a lot of BBC, watching a lot of those shows, gaining that knowledge.
No, just, I don't know, something from sitting in a college classroom just something flooded
stuck.
Back to me.
Something stuck. Dart says, the comment was made in the heat of the moment, and I truly regret it. Excuse me. It's not the way I want to behave, and I take full responsibility. I have a lot of respect for Lois and the way she competed today. I'll learn from this and move on, but she should put on some deodorant.
But that chick reeks.
I may reek on the court because she was mopping the court with me, but she smells.
She smells in real life.
Yeah.
What does take full responsibility, like, specifically? Because that's just something that's always in
always
an apology.
Always put at the end of something. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
But, like, she's not getting suspended.
Nothing's happening. Like, you take full responsibility for saying what you say? Well, good.
Yeah,
no one else is responsible for it.
We heard you say it.
You know what, Harriet? You didn't have to tell us that. No one was putting that on anyone else but you. You said it.
I put take full responsibility.
I'm glad you're stepping in front of the bullets for someone else, except that someone is you.
Wait, in the apology, at any point did she say that she didn't stink?
She did not say I was wrong about her smelling. She just
That's
said,
all I need to know.
She just said I shouldn't have said
this
it.
This is a fake apology.
So I believe Harriet Dart believes she stinks, and maybe Lois does.
It's just sorry you heard me. That's what it is.
Well, she said it directly to the umpire. That's who she was talking to. Can you tell? I don't know if it's under the umpire's purview to tell your opponent to put on deodorant.
Yeah, it's also like,
are those rules in tennis that if you smell egregiously, you have to go fix that by going
no,
in the back?
Can't.
I don't
it
think so.
Be.
I don't think so.
Be. I guess the tennis is, again, this is where we normally don't talk about tennis.
So I don't know the rules here.
Yeah, but like other sports, especially like football, you hear about like Mark Slareff like intentionally peeing his pants so he'd smell worse.
Yeah, to affect the opponent.
Somehow.
I don't know how that. I guess people can't get over the pee smell while they're playing football, yeah. And that's going to bother them.
Didn't the Broncos wear white pants?
At home, yeah. Okay. And sometimes on the road. I don't know what Mark Schlereff was up to, other than being, well, he got the name Stink for a reason.
I know. That it worked. Like, I believe him.
He was a good player.
I believe him. It's just gross.
Yes, gross. Sorry, Lois Boyson. I've never heard of you before. That's why I struggled with your last name. And going forward, you're going to be the girl that Harry Dart says stinks. I hope, hopefully you can get past that and go on to have a great career. But for this show and
so
for me,
yeah.
She's always going to be the girl that smelled so bad that her opponent told the umpire to fix it.
She's going to have to win so much to
get past this.
To for me personally to go Lois name game chick who stinks. I don't have a. I like she's gonna have to be a multiple time Grand Slam winner.
She is 21 years old. Appears to be, well, relatively speaking, she's one of the best tennis players in the world, just compared to the rest of us. But she appears to be kind of an average tennis player right
okay.
now.
I could take her.
No single. Well, I don't know about that. No single titles. No double titles in her career. It's not a long career so far, but she hasn't won a lot. 126-77 is her
126
record.
126. Okay. Not bad. Not
yeah,
bad.
But not an elite player. Career earnings since 2019, 133+K. So she's not exactly okay. breaking the bank over the course
yeah,
of...
Yeah, but enough to buy deodorant.
Apparently not. And so far this year, according to ESPN, she's made a little under 7,000.
That's crazy.
And according to Harriet Dart, none of it's been... put towards deodorant.
I mean, I hope she has other forms of income.
She's only 21, so to be honest,
oh,
remember she started when she was a teenager.
Okay, that puts the career earnings into
a bit more perspective.
Yeah,
like okay. We have some greats who were making big money,
yeah,
big bank
yeah.
as when they were young, but her, she's
not everyone can be Nico Iamaleva, right?
I was going to go with Serena, but sure. I was going to stick with tennis, but okay.
I'm sorry, Carson Beck. Nico, him and Shabazz Napier are skipping dinners most nights because they're so hungry.
Mm-hmm. If you don't remember, that was the Hungry Huskies.
Yeah, that's a Shabazz Napier.
Back when college kids were making money. But
decade-old reference.
But we just didn't know because yeah. That was all under the table. So Harriet Dart has the insult. Lois Boyson, who is now 21, when she, 4 years ago, at 17, she was making over 27K. That's good for a 17-year-old.
That's awesome for a 17. That's arguably too much for a 17.
Now, a lot of it's probably going to training and treatment and all that stuff because you're kind of an independent contractor, so you got to pay for all that stuff yourself. I don't know if she has any sponsorships, but whatever. She's working her way up, and now she has this head.
Yeah.
She has this over her head.
How old is
Harriet? You think she should have known better, maybe.
Or just like it puts in a difference.
She's 28 years old. Now, Harriet Dart has made quite a bit more. She's made over $2 million in her career.
She's 7 years older. I'd hope so.
But even just on average,
she's making per year.
She hasn't won anything either in her career, but she's made almost $3 million since 2019 career earnings. pretty good living when you don't win anything. At least tournaments. You're winning matches, obviously.
But for us, they haven't won anything.
Yeah.
You're not lifting a trophy.
Yeah, not even.
Not even like the...
I saw challengers. You're not even winning one of those events before one of the big events.
I was
going
to say like the Tucson Open. Like, yeah. You're not even winning
She's not even winning the tournament in Cincinnati before you get to the U.S. Open. I think that was the timeline for that movie. People were focused on...
Yeah.
Were focused on the Zendaya making those two guys kiss each other. I was like, hey, let's get to the tennis.
It's the road to the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Let's see.
Focus. Hey, fellas, focus up.
Focus. Stop being led around by this woman. You're trying to win a tournament here. All right, we'll go to break with that. Being told you stink. Actually, not even being told you stink. Having someone else tell someone you stink and having tough. It being caught on mic is tough.
That's tough.
It's very tough.
I've never gone to like a ref and be like, hey, ref, you see 55? Stinks. Tell him to fix that.
Because the ref is not going to do anything. The fact that she thought that the umpire had any way to enforce a deodorant rule is nuts. Her head was in a bad spot. She was getting her ass kicked by a girl she thought stunk. That's all it is.
A 21-year-old.
A woman, 7 years younger than her, kicking her ass up and down on the course. So she had to get some get back. She apologized. She took full responsibility. Thanks, Harriet. Harriet Dart. A name I will never forget now. Lois and Harriet, I'll never forget.
I'll probably forget Lois's last name.
Boyson? I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But Harriet.
Harriet Dart.
It's a distinctive name and the last name.
When Jackson Dart gets drafted next week.
I'm going to think of Harriet.
I'll probably think of Harriet Dart.
Yeah. Did Jackson Dart talk to Dylan Edwards that way after he let off shots in him on the when he got sacked? If you don't know, Dylan Edwards, freshman now, going to be a rising sophomore. When he sacked Jackson Dart in a game last year, he just let off shotgun fire into Jackson Dart's body and had a personal, not a personal foul, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. I don't think Jackson Dart, you stink though. How about that?
Yeah, number 6, he stinks.
Don't think he talked to an SEC ref about that. But now, at least his namesake, as far as his last name is concerned, did it in a tennis tournament I had never heard of and will never pay attention to. But now we have this story. Okay, we'll go to break with that. If you want to call in the second hour, you can, 713-780-3776. We'll hear from Kenny Smith when we come back. He has a comp for Jalen Green. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't buy it, but Kenny Smith thinks Jalen Green can become this player, and we'll see that player, or at least the player that Jalen Green will become in that first-round series against the Warriors. So a lot to get to. More Rockets-Warriors stuff. We'll be back.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN97.5.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.